Looking at our world from a theological perspective. This is the Theology Central Podcast, making theology central.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is Sunday, November the 21st, 2021. It is currently 4:42 p.m. Central Time, and I'm still here inside the empty sanctuary of Victory Baptist Church, located right here in Ovalo, Texas. Yes, that's where I am, right here, Ovalo, Texas. Empty Sanctuary, Victory Baptist Church. Welcome. Hope you're having a great Sunday or whenever you hear this, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever day, whatever time, whatever country, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. I hope things are going well for you and with you. And really, technically, this is the first day of a new week of Bible study. Actually, it started yesterday, but technically, it's supposed to start on Sunday, but we got kind of a little bit of a head start. And well, I'm just going to go. A part of me got a little bit of a head start because I thought maybe today I wouldn't do any recording for the Bible study and just kind of let everyone work on the assignments I gave everyone yesterday in part one. But here I am, and I was like, nope, we're going to talk about something related to the Bible study just to keep you motivated, keep you working, and keep you studying. I did receive a few outlines that people sent me of Psalm 100, because that is the text for this week. Remember, this week it's all about studying the subject of thanksgiving, and I gave you a number of assignments. Hopefully, you're working on all of those assignments. For those who've worked on the outline, I really appreciate it, because that's what we're going to focus on a little bit today. But if you have a Bible, the book of Psalms, specifically Psalm chapter 100, that is the text for this week. Read it, write it. Remember, I told you to read it. Write it out, literally write it out on paper. Place that somewhere where you can see it. Just spend the week meditating, talking, thinking about Psalm 100. I think it's very important. And I think the subject of Thanksgiving, yes, I know that's a little, obviously we're going to talk about Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving week. I know that it seems very obvious, and I don't want you to just discount it because, well, it's Thanksgiving. Of course, we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving. Let's talk about something else. I don't want you to just throw it out because it's kind of what's expected. The idea of being thankful in your Christian life, the attitude of gratitude, as someone would say, the attitude of thanksgiving, I think is so very important in our spiritual journey and to grow as Christians. And so I think taking some time to really consider it and think about it will be beneficial, and really spending some time in Psalm 100, that is God's word. And because it's God's word, it's always beneficial to spend time in God's word. So there's much we could say, there's much we could talk about, but let's just jump in. Psalm 100. This is the text I want everyone reading. This is the text I want everyone outlining. And this is the text we're going to talk about right now. So here's what we're going to do. Psalm 100. Are you ready? Bible's open. Notebooks open. Pencils in hand. Let's dig in. Let's continue another week of Bible study. Remember, there's curriculum available. Go to theologycentral.net. Go to the blog section. Look for the blog article entitled Daily Discipleship Guide. Follow the link. It will take you to Ministry Grid. Sign up. You'll have the adult study guide, the Daily Discipleship Guide. You'll have the leader's guide. You'll have everything. And just use all of it. Read it. Look at it. Use it. Question it. Ask me questions about it. Just use it to supplement your study this week. It's right there. Please make the most out of it. But Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5, let's read the text. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Now, how should we outline this chapter? How should we outline this psalm? A lot of you have some very interesting ideas, some ideas that I had not even thought about. A lot of you approached it in ways that I didn't even consider, but I am going to approach this. I'm going to open my iPad really quick here. I'm going to approach this maybe in a way that's maybe so obvious that you may discount it as being, well, that's not really that good. But remember, with my outlines, just so that you know my philosophy, my outlines are typically very, 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 very simple because I focus on observation, observation, observation. I don't want to add any interpretation. So I think the key to outlining Psalm 100 is the word imperative. I think there are some imperatives here that you can build your outline. I think there are imperatives, and then there is the reason for the imperatives. I think you can really break the chapter down into two parts, the imperatives and the reason. Here are the imperatives. Here is the reason for the imperatives. Now, you may be asking, what is an imperative? An imperative is absolutely necessary or required, unavoidable, of the nature of or expressing a command, commanding, right? A command, something that demands attention or action, an unavoidable obligation or requirement, something that is necessary, a necessity. I believe there are some imperatives here. So if I was going to break, you could break this down. You could list, well, you could do number one, the imperatives, and then A, B, you can list the imperatives, and then number two, the reason for the imperatives, and list, and then lay out gave a list of really, I should say, the reasons maybe. So the imperatives and the reasons. Let me just demonstrate. The imperatives are very easy to see in the text, very easy. You can circle them. Now, if you're using a different translation, maybe it reads a little differently, but the King James, they just jump out at you. You ready? Let's see if you can find them. Imperative number one, make. Number two, serve. Number three, enter. All right. Or I'm sorry. Number one, make. Number two, serve. I skipped number two. So number one, make. Number two, serve. Number three, know. Number four, enter. Make, serve, know, enter. Make, serve, know, enter. Those are your imperatives. There are four imperatives. Make, number two, serve, number three, know, number four, enter. Four imperatives. And then the reason is the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth forever. So the reasons for these imperatives is because the Lord is good, he is merciful, number one, he's good. Number two, his mercy is everlasting. Number three, his truth endures to all generations. Four imperatives and three reasons. Because the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Those reasons lead to us to fulfill those imperatives or to follow those imperatives. So here's the imperative. Make, serve, know, enter. Four imperatives and three reasons. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. That, I believe that's the way to break the text down. I think it just makes it simple. And all of that is just right there. It's just, I'm not trying to interpret anything, right? I think it's just right there in the text. Now, some may say I'm doing a little bit of interpretation, but I just believe it's right there. All right. I mean, for example, you've got the imperatives, make, serve, know, enter. And then it says for, or because of. Right? Here's the reason you're doing this, because or for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and truth endureth to all generations. I think that that's observation and not interpretation. So let's look at each imperative. Number one, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise. Now, the idea here is joy. You're making a noise to demonstrate your joy. You're demonstrating this. You are, you, you are, you are to demonstrate joy. You are to express your joy. And the fact, the way they say here, make a joyful noise. You are to express your joy in some way, shape, or form. You are to express your joy. And what should bring you joy? Well, the Lord is good. His mercy endureth to all generations. And let me read it again. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. The goodness of God, the mercy of God, and the truth of God should bring you great joy. You should make a joyful noise because the goodness of God, the mercy of God, and the truth of God. Do you find joy in God's goodness, in God's mercy, and God's truth? Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. I think I want to look some things up right now, but I'm not going to. Remember, Bible study exercise. I try to do some of the teaching and some of that I just try to get you into. I want you to just look at that. In fact, I think, let me look here. I believe someone who sent me an outline talks about this. And let me see here. I don't want to. I could be wrong here. Okay, let me look. I don't want to say something that's completely incorrect. So I'm going to look this up really quick, all right? Just give me a second. I didn't think about this until they sent the outline. Oh, see, I got a number of outlines this morning. Okay, here we go. Okay, no, they look up a different word. Okay, they bring in Strong's for made. Okay, I didn't know if they, yeah. So they have it this way. Bring songs, shouts, and worship joyfully before the Lord. That's interesting the way they have it. I'm going to look up Psalm 100, verse 1, and a number of English translations, because now they got me thinking that we need to do that. So let's look it up so that we can really understand this first imperative. Psalm 100. I know we could look up the Hebrew word here, but I'm not going to do that right now. All right, let's see here. Psalm 100. Let's see how all of them. Okay, this is how the New International Version, a psalm for giving grateful praise. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. New Living Translation, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. The ESV, make a joyful noise to the Lord. The Berean Study Bible, make a joyful noise to the Lord. King James, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. New King James, make a joyful shout. Shout joyfully to the Lord. It's the idea of expressing joy, but it's joy that is built, that is rooted not in circumstance. It's expressing joy based off who God is. Let me try to express it this way. This is a very, very important theological concept. Your joy is based in who God is, not based on circumstances or what God may do. Your joy is based on who God is. He is good, he is merciful, and his truth endureth to all generations. Those three things, and Psalm 100. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't any other time that, I'm not saying you can ever be joyful for what God may do, because we can be joyful for what God may do. But our joy is rooted in who God is. Our praise is rooted in who God is. The reason I stress this is because sometimes God may act in a way that you do not like. God may do something you don't like. He may not do something that you desperately want or need, but your joy, your praise is rooted in whom God is first and foremost. That's where, when everything seems to be falling apart around you, everything doesn't make any sense. There's pain, there's hurt, whatever the case may be, you can continue to trust and praise God and continue to find joy and continue to praise him, because it's all rooted in who he is. If it's based off what he does, then you will stop wanting to praise him and your joy will be impacted unless he does what you want him to do. And that is detrimental to your spiritual life. There's going to be situations you're going to be like, God, why didn't you? God, why wouldn't you? Why didn't you do this? Why wouldn't you fix this? God, why wouldn't you get rid of the cancer? God, why would you allow this to happen? God, why didn't you protect that person? Why? Now it's very legitimate to ask the why questions. You just have to realize in many cases, you're never going to get an answer and you're never going to understand it. But while you're struggling with the why, you can always rely on who he is. He is God. He is good. He is merciful, and his truth endureth to all generations. That's the source of your joy. Now, I want you to do this because of this first imperative, to make a joyful noise. To make a joyful noise, I want you to really think about where your joy is found. Where does your joy originate from? What's the origin? What's the source of your joy? I really want you to I know that if you give me the church answer, you'll say, my joy is in Jesus. Okay. I want you to just really like spend some time thinking, okay, is your joy negatively impacted by circumstances? If it is, that means your joy is rooted in circumstances, or your joy is rooted and what God may do, not in God himself. There is a big difference between your joy being found in who God is versus your joy being rooted in what God does. Make a joyful noise, imperative, unto the Lord, all ye lands. Here's the imperative. Make a joyful noise. Express your joy. I express my joy because God is good. I express my joy because his mercy endureth. His mercy is everlasting. His mercy never runs out. And because his truth endureth to all generations. I don't know if I can honestly say that's where my joy is rooted. I think sometimes it's rooted in something else. And when it's not rooted in God, then it may spring forth temporarily, but it will ultimately, in a sense, fade away. It will ultimately die. Your joy will ultimately die if it's not rooted in God, because circumstances change. Circumstances go through all kinds of ups and downs, but God never changes. He is immutable. He is the same. He is eternal. God is the same. He will always be good. His mercy will always is everlasting, and his truth will always endure. That never changes. Find your joy in whom God is. All right? There, I was going to give another assignment here, but I just really want you to just think about and ask yourself, what's the origin? What is the root of my joy? Right? What's the root for, like, joy, think of it as the fruit. What is the root? What is it actually connected to? And it has to be in whom God is. I really want you to give that much thought this week. Thanksgiving, it's you know, the most joyful time of the year for some people, right? It's the holidays. It's about joy, but their joy is found in a feeling, a holiday feeling, or a nostalgic memory of how the holidays were when they were little. But our joy is not found in any of that. During the holidays, make sure your joy is rooted in God, because you may find yourself depressed and discouraged if the tree doesn't look right, the lights don't do this, the kids aren't appreciative, you had to spend time with your in-laws and they irritated you. Don't get caught up in all of that. Your joy must be rooted in who God is, not even in what he does. Number two. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Second imperative, serve the Lord with gladness. Now, why do I want to serve him with gladness? Because he is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So check the source of your joy, all right? Make a joyful noise, express your joy, and serve the Lord with gladness. serve God with gladness. Is your service of God, is it done with gladness or is it done with reluctance? Is it a joyful service or is it a glad service, a willing service, a joyful service, or is it grumbling, complaining, not wanting to do it, not enjoying it, and despising it? Do you serve the Lord with gladness? Now, first you have to ask yourself, are you even serving the Lord? And then you have to ask yourself, are you doing it with gladness? Or is it grumbling and complaining? Express your joy, ensuring that the root of your joy is found within God and not in circumstances. Serve the Lord with gladness, and what should motivate this glad service, what should motivate you serving with gladness is because of God's goodness, of his everlasting mercy, and because his truth endureth to all generations. That, do you serve with gladness? You think of it this way. This maybe this will make sense to you or not. I'll go from my experience in the medical world. There were times I would get so irritated with nurses and doctors. Oh, I would find myself, we would have a patient and I'm like, I need someone to take care of this situation. I need someone to step up. We've got to do this. And I would find in many cases that the nurses or the doctors viewed the patient as a nuisance. And I'm like, why did you get into the medical world if you are not glad to serve the patient? That's why you're in the medical world. Are you in the medical world just to make money? Are you in the medical world? Why are you in the medical world? Isn't it about serving people? Isn't it about helping people? If you're not one of doing that, get out of the medical world, right? And I would constantly, because it was my responsibility always to ensure this was taken care of and this was taken care of. And I found myself constantly trying to ensure that the patients got what they needed. And I didn't understand that. And you'll see this. Sometimes you'll go into a store, it can be a fast food restaurant, and it's almost like your presence is, you can see it on their face that they are not happy that you're there. They're irritated that you are there. Now, I understand when it's an 18-year-old working at the fast food restaurant, they don't see it, they don't care, they just needed a job to make money. But you understand that sometimes they are serving you, not with gladness, but out of necessity, out of a burden, out of a have to. Sometimes we treat the service of God, I know I'm supposed to do this. I know I have to do this, but I don't really want to be doing this. Serve the Lord with gladness. What should motivate your service? The goodness of God, his everlasting mercy, and a truth that endureth to all generations. Make a joyful noise. Express your joy, making sure the root of your joy is in God, not in circumstances, not in what God may do. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. And you do so because of the right reasons. Number three, know ye that the Lord, he is God. Now, the third imperative is you need to know something. And here's what you need to know. You need to know the Lord, that he is God. You need to know that he has made us. I'm going to give you a number. I'm just going to break this down. I'm going to break it down even maybe more than I initially thought. Know that God is God. Know that the Lord is God. Number two, know that he made you. Number three, know that we did not make ourselves. And number four, know that we are his people. And number five, know that we are the sheep of his pasture. These are the things you must know. You must know these things. Know that he is God. Know that he hath made you. Know that you did not make yourself. Know that you are his people, that you are one of his people, and know that you are a sheep of his pasture. You must know these things. It's imperative that you know these things. And what should motivate you to know these things is because of God's goodness, because of God's mercy, and because of God's truth. God's goodness, mercy, and truth should motivate you to grow in your knowledge of God, knowing that He is God, knowing that He made you. You did not make yourself. You are one of His people, and you are a sheep of His pasture. You need to know these things. And what motivates the knowing is it's God. He's good. You want to know more about a good God. You want to know more about a merciful God. And you want to know more about a God who has truth that will endure to all generations. That should motivate you to know. All right, so let's go through this again. Imperative number one. Make a joyful noise. In other words, express joy, understanding that the root of your joy is in God, not in circumstances, not even in what God will do for you. Serve the Lord with gladness. Make sure you are serving God with gladness, not out of a burden. And what motivates a glad service is knowing that God is good, that His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Number three, there's things you need to know. What should motivate this knowing is that God is good, His mercy, and His truth. And what do you need to know? You need to know that He is God. You need to know that He hath made you. You need to know that you did not make yourself. You need to know that you are His people, that you're one of His people, and that you are the sheep of His pasture. Now, here's what I want you to do with verse three. All right, now I'm going to give you something. I gave you some things to think about. Now, I really want you to write this out. I want you to ask yourself how knowing each one of those things, I want you to say, how should knowing these things impact you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? How should this knowledge impact you? I want you to consider each one and go, how should this knowledge impact me? I know that He is God. So think about it. I know that He is God and I'm not God. I know that He made me and I know that I didn't make myself. Those are three very important things right there to know. He is God. I'm not God. He made me. I didn't make me. That immediately begins to set up some very important concepts. And then you're one of His people and you're the sheep of His pasture. All right. Next imperative, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Enter in with thanksgiving and praise. Enter in with thanksgiving and praise. So we make, we serve, we know, and we enter in with thanksgiving and praise. Now, here's what I want you to do. I know most of you will not do this, but I'm going to beg you to do it. Take a piece of paper or in your journal, I want you to write out a paragraph of thanksgiving, right? Now, I'm going to draw a distinction between thanksgiving and praise. I'm going to draw a distinction. I want you to write out a paragraph thanking God, and thanking God, you focus on what He has done. Thank God for what He has done, right? You can think of Him, you can be thankful that He is creator. You can be thankful that has made you His people by redeeming you, by purchasing you. Just thank God for what He has done. Whatever you can just list, write out a paragraph, make it a paragraph of thanksgiving. I thank You, Lord, and just write it out. You don't have to try to make it perfect, but just write out a paragraph of thanksgiving. And I want you to define thanksgiving as thanking God for what He has done. Then I want you to write a paragraph of praise. Praise is you're praising God for who He is. Not for what He has done, but you're praising Him for who He is. You're praising Him for His attributes, for His character. Write out a paragraph of thanksgiving on what He has done, and write out a paragraph of praise for who He is. I want you to draw that distinction between thanksgiving and praise. Some argue that distinction, that thanksgiving and praise is used somewhat interchangeably. I'm not arguing whether we should or shouldn't. I'm not trying to make some dogmatic assertion. I'm saying for your Bible study exercise, I want you to write out a paragraph thanking God for who He is, and pray for thanking God for what He has done, and then pray, write a paragraph of praise, praising God for who He is. I think that's very, very important. So here are the imperatives. Make a joyful noise. Express joy in God and make sure the root of that joy is in God himself, not in what he does, because your joy should be found in a God because he is good, because his mercy is everlasting, because his truth endureth to all generations. Serve the Lord with gladness. Ask yourself, are you truly serving God with gladness, or is it out of responsibility or necessity? And you should be serving him with gladness because he is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. You need to know. Why do you want to know? Because you have a God who is good, a God who is merciful, and a God who has truth. You should want to know everything about this God, and you need to know that he is God, that he has made you. You did not make yourself. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Know those things. Enter with praise and thanksgiving. I want you to write out a paragraph of thanksgiving, thanking God for what he has done. Then write out a paragraph of praise, praising God for who he is. Now, why do you do all of these imperatives? Because the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth into all generations. Now, I could say more about the reasons here for these imperatives, but I'm not. I just want you to focus on the imperatives. That's all I want you to do. And then we'll focus on the last part coming up soon. All right, there you have it. That's the way I think you should outline it. The imperatives, the reasons. The imperatives, the reasons. Now, you could say the imperative and the reason. The imperatives is based off God. God is the reason for the imperatives, but specifically because God is good, God is merciful, and God has a truth that endureth to all generations. Those are the reasons for the imperatives. And what are the imperatives? Make, serve, know, enter. Those are the imperatives. Now, I want to say more, but I think I've given you plenty to consider. I've given you plenty to work on, given you plenty to think about as you spend the week reading Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5, over and over again. Make this, live this psalm. Let it enter into you. The more you read it, the more it will become a part of you. And let this really guide your thinking as you go into this week of Thanksgiving. But let's make sure our Thanksgiving is centered in the right thing, all right? And well, there's just much to contemplate there. There's a lot more I could say, a lot of things I did not say, because I wanted to leave some things for you to start, well, emailing me, discussing it, and talking about it. Remember, if you're part of the Swell Theology Central group, you can just grab your phone, hit the little record button, and record a swell about, well, what about this? Or I was thinking this or that. Just, you don't have to wait to respond to a swell that I record. Record your own, and then we can talk about it within the Theology Central Swell group. If you want to be a part of the Theology Central Swell group, it's very simple. Download the Swell app, S-W-E-L-L. Once you download the Swell app, look for Theology Central. All right, follow me. I'll get a notification. As soon as I get that notification, I will send an invite to you so that you can join the group. And in within the Swell app, the Theology Central group, it's private. We can record and have our discussions back and forth, and nobody else on the app hears it other than the people who are a part of the group. So it makes it an interesting, fun way to communicate and talk about things, and I'll probably be doing some swells this week about Psalm 100, possibly, if I get to it. There's always 9 million other things that I'm working on at any given time, but yeah, there you have it. There's my outline to Psalm 100. I can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts. Everyone, thank you for your outlines. Very interesting. I'm not in any way saying that your outlines are wrong. I'm going with this, and you can tell me, well, I didn't really see that or that. Or you can tell me that makes sense or that doesn't make any sense. I think your outline is complete garbage. That's okay. I can take it. It will just demonstrate that I have more biblical knowledge than you. I'm joking. Okay. But no, I think we just talked about some very important principles, and hopefully it will spark some very, very important conversations and discussions, because that's how we grow. And that's how we exhort. We encourage. Iron sharpeneth iron is when we talk about these things. Very important passage. So I can't wait to hear your thoughts. All right, everyone have a great evening. I should be back, and I'm going to try to do at least one more thing before I head home. But there is the Bible study exercise. You have two parts now, plenty of assignments. Get to work. You can always email me, newsif@yahoo.com. If you want access to the curriculum and you can't find the article at theologycentral.net, just email me and say, hey, I want access to the curriculum, and I will send you a link. I want to thank again. We got a financial donation. I think it was last night. Maybe it was early this morning from someone I don't think has ever emailed me. I don't think they've ever sent me an email. I don't think they have. And I just want them to know I appreciate that. And again, if anybody else ever wants to help support what we're trying to do here, theologycentral.net, hit the donate tab. I don't care if it's a dollar. I don't care if it's $2. I don't care if it's $3. Every cent, every dollar is always helpful. And everything we're trying to do, we're still trying to work with our podcasting hosting site to see if we can get a discount because they boosted our price up to $120 a month. That's crazy. But they still have the best system for live broadcasting. I've tried everything. The software here is just so awesome to use. So we're going to continue. And not only that, trying to move everything to a different platform would just be devastating at this point. All the work I've put in building all of this. I mean, we've got thousands of episodes. Last thing I want to do is trying to redo everything. We're kind of too far in now to go anywhere else. So hopefully they'll work out an idea. They came up with it. They want to give us a 30% discount, which would be great. The only problem is I have to cancel and then basically sign back up. Well, I'm like, well, you do realize if I do that, then all of my stuff goes away. I'm not going to get rid of everything and start over just because I can get a 30% discount. You're talking thousands of episodes. That's insane. So we'll see. If they won't get us the discount, then that's just where we are. And there's not much we can do at that point. So we will see. But thanks for those who have supported us. We do appreciate it because, again, Theology Central comes to you from Victory Baptist Church, which is a little small church in the middle of nowhere. Okay. We don't have a lot of money. It's not like we're coming from the big mega church down the street with 3,000 members and a budget of $1 million. No, we don't. If we had all of that, I wouldn't ever even bring it up. But we don't. All right. Thank you very much. Everyone have a great evening. And I'll try to be back here shortly and we'll see what else we can talk about before I head home. Everyone, thank you. Enjoy this week of Bible study. I know it's Thanksgiving weekend. I know you're going to have a million distractions. Just try. And that's another reason I guess I wanted to do another recording today before the week gets crazy. And before you know it, it's going to be like, well, Thanksgiving is over. It's now Friday. It's now Saturday. Okay, well, we'll wait till Thanksgiving next year. I know that there's a million distractions. Try to just carve out a little time. See, carve out, like carving the turkey. Okay, carve out a little time and do a little, as much Bible study as you can. Even if you have, when everyone else goes to sleep, if you need to stay up 30 minutes later, sacrificing 30 minutes of sleep for time in God's Word, not only is that worth it, I think it's maybe even our responsibility because God goes first. I know some Christians don't believe God could ever come before sleep, but I believe God comes before sleep. I know that's radical. I'm calling for some weird radical form of Christianity, but I always hear, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. But it's just amazing you have enough time to get as much sleep as you want, right? I think you can sacrifice a little sleep to spend a little time with God. I really do. I think it's possible. I really do. I know that sounds crazy, but I really think that you could sacrifice a little sleep to spend time with your Creator. Maybe? All right. Okay. I know now you're saying, now you're starting to preach. Now you're starting to step on my toes. So you need to stop right now. Okay. I know. I apologize. I went from just a nice, calm little Bible study to now a little bit of preaching. But I just know this week will be hard on many of you. And you're going to have a million responsibilities and a million things going on. And I understand that. But you can still find time at some point. Because at some point, everyone else is going to have to go to bed. And when they go to bed, you're like, okay, Lord, now you and I, let's spend some time studying your word and thinking about Psalm 100. Even if it's only 15, 20 minutes, you can at least pull that off. All right. And even while you're going to bed, get an audio Bible app and set it to just play Psalm 100 like 10 times before you go to, if you go to the Blue Letter Bible app, you can, and you click on the verse one, it'll pull up a menu that will allow you to listen to the chapter like 7 times. Just hit play 7 times and then listen to it 7 times as you fall asleep. The technology gives you lots of, I'm getting a notification from Edify, the Christian podcasting app. And I'm like, wait a minute, is that my message? So I don't know if either someone has done a message with the same title as mine earlier, or that Edify just took forever to post my message. So I was just looking at the notification going, I think that's one of my podcast episodes. Why are they posting that today? But I'll have to go look. All right, everyone stop right there. We can all stop. Hey, yeah, go ahead and stop. We're done. Everyone have a great evening. I'll try to be back and do at least one more thing. God bless.